Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day, and thank you for kicking it off with us here at WFHR, locally grown radio. 9:04 on the clock. Got your host, James J. here. I am joined by Terry Johns.
Good morning.
We got the band back together. We're going to have some fun this hour. Got a great Danny Wright story coming up a little bit later. And some good stories of the day. Plenty of things to wrap up on. I want to start off with some entertainment news. And we are just a couple of things away, a couple of situations away from having the greatest, maybe heavyweight bout of all time. Dolly Parton versus Mick Jagger. It's coming, everybody. If Dolly has anything to say about it. Last we heard, Mick Jagger was the only singer who dared to turn down Dolly Parton's request to be on her rock album. They actually had a couple of really great conversations, and it was just a matter of a scheduling thing. Mick is a bit older, so is Dolly, I'll say. But he was not able to be on the album, but apparently really wanted to be. And they've actually got a pretty fun relationship and everything where they can tease each other and stuff. And Dolly says, quote, "I wanted the song for me and Mick. I can't get no satisfaction. Brandi Carlile and Pink are now singing on it. I'm still waiting for him to come back. Come on back. He might come through. If not, I'm gonna kick his bony ass when I see him." It's so Dolly.
I love it.
I wish I had the audio of that and her saying
exactly.
It. If I did, I'd have played it for you, everybody. I'm not about to try to do a bad Dolly Parton impression. But God, I you can hear her saying
and
that.
And now he's shaking in his boots.
Yeah, he is. That's great. That album, the little bits I've heard of it and everything, it just sounds like it's a really great album.
Don't you think it's kind of funny, though, how she was so like adamantly refusing to be in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
Yes. It adds to her legacy, I think.
Oh, absolutely. I have nothing against it. And I think it's fine. But I just thought it was funny because she really just didn't want to do that.
Yeah.
Be recognized in that way. And then she did follow through. But now it's maybe she feels guilty. Maybe she's like, well, now I got to make a rock album.
When have you ever heard of anything like this in history?
Yeah.
You know, they're going to bring me into this Hall of Fame. I don't think I deserve it. The fans speak out. The higher ups at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame speak out. They're going to bring her in. And she could just take it right there. But no, she wants to earn being in the Rock and Roll Hall
That's
of Fame
cool.
and stuff, which she already has by all of our standards.
Oh, yes.
But by her standards, I'd like the fact that, and I just like that we're going to have new Dolly Parton music. I mean, not to be morbid, but we don't know how much we're going to have of these artists. I want as much as we can get.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Reba McEntire was in an interview recently and brought up something very interesting. Did you know Reba McEntire turned down The Voice 12 years ago? The show was still in development, and she didn't think it would fit her personality. This came up in an interview on ET Online. She says, quote, "I saw the Holland version of the show, and they sent it to me, and I said, I can't see me doing that, because, you know, I'm a gypsy at heart." She didn't want to be tied down to one project in one place for a long time. They ended up going with Blake Shelton.
Mm-hmm.
And he did, obviously, and he made and it kind of put escalated his career to a level that I don't think he even knew that it could go to. And just quoting him in interviews,
sure.
He said the similar things and stuff. And now that and she served as a mentor to Team Blake in 2001 or 2011 and again in 2015. And now that he's gone, would she take Blake's place if it was offered to her? Now, first off, I didn't even know he was off the show.
Oh, yeah. This is his last season.
Oh, OK. So they asked her, would you do this? Quote, "Who could fill Blake's shoes to fill Blake's chair? Wow, that's going to be tough. He did a great job and kudos to him." But she has no interest in doing this.
Well,
it's just not her speed. It's not her style.
And that's okay. But I can see her. I mean, her personality as such, she would do fine on the show. I don't think that there's any of that. But I get the whole being, you know, like being tied down if she's just saying, I can't make that long term of a commitment. But Blake Shelton did before the season started. You know, he announced that this would be his last season. Like, it's not a sneaky, hey, I'm out kind of thing. And I don't think it's adversarial at all. I think it's just, he's just moving on.
Yeah. I mean, it's actually, if I was an executive producer on The Voice, I'd be really proud of this moment. Look what my show did for this man's career. Like, I'm going to bring in somebody else and do it for them. It's similar kind of Saturday Night Live feel to it and everything. He's done his time. You know, it's kind of, you love to have these people stick around, like on SNL or the these kind of shows.
But
it's okay to see him go, too.
Yeah, yeah.
Yep.
I'm curious to see who the... Because they'll probably try to fill it with a pair of boots with a country artist.
I would think, yes.
Not sure who that'll be. It ain't going to be Reba, though, apparently. So, but more power to her. I have to say... I don't know her music that well. I know her voice if I hear it on the radio, but I don't know her songs or anything like that. I have such a respect for that woman and the way she has carried her career and carries herself. And to me, if she wanted to like do The Voice just her or any of these shows, she could do it. She'd nail it. She'd be great at it. I like the fact that she's able to say no. I think going back to the conversation we were having before.
And stay true to, yeah. You know,
it's
I can't
come
because it's bedtime.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, good. More power to her, though. They'll get somebody in there. Great.
I'm sure they'll be able to easily. Well, not easily, but you know that they'll fill that with somebody that you know will hopefully make their way up to Blake standards.
Ticketmaster has been in the news since we were in high school, Terry. it has always been an issue. You remember back in the day when Pearl Jam tried to do their own tour without using Ticketmaster, and as much as they put into it and everything, they ended up eventually like kind of just giving up.
Yeah.
Because there was no way around it. The one of the biggest monopolies in the world, and that's really saying something when you think about it. So Beyonce announced the dates of her Renaissance tour this week, and yes, she's using Ticketmaster. Does that scare you? It should, but Ticketmaster is going to try to avoid disasters by doing things a little differently. This includes staggering the on-sale dates for various venues and using membership systems like Verified Fan. 7 new dates have also been added based on registration numbers that show demand in way outpacing supply.
Well, I can imagine what it would be like for her. Recently, so Morgan Wallen announced his tour and recently added a show. So he's doing 2 shows in Milwaukee in April. And they sold out, except there's a couple. There's a few VIPs, like $800 tickets. I'm not really sure who buys those.
Yeah.
But they sold out just with Verified Fans. Mm-hmm. So, like, you never had American Family Field.
Yeah.
Sold out 2 days in a row.
It's crazy.
Because, you know what I mean? But that went through Ticketmaster. But I just, you know, we kept going on there, and I'm like, what is going on? But there are a lot of them, it seems, are using that Verified Fan system.
Because of the Taylor Swift thing that happened just weeks ago, really, the Senate Judiciary Committee is getting in on this, and there's going to be hearings and all that. And before anybody wants to bark at me that our government has more important things to be doing and all that, yes, I completely agree with you. But this is important too. Like, it's not.
And this is a lot of money. I mean, this is tourism dollars. It's not just the concert tickets. It's the people coming to. You know, to these towns and these venues. I mean, there's a lot more to it than just the ticket price.
In a perfect world, yes, the government would be focused on childcare or welfare or any of these kind of big topics or anything like that. They can do that and work on other things at the same time. If anything, they should be working more and getting more done. So I push back on that. I'll double down on that. I think that not only should they be in on this, but they should have been in on it a long time ago.
Well, yeah, and let's get it fixed.
Yes.
You know?
It's... It is one of the simpler things we're looking for here. It's not rocket science. This is not a difficult thing to pull off. Wanted to mention some new music and some new stuff in theaters, touching on the new music this week. Let's see here. Shania Twain, Queen of Me. This is her 6th album. There's also a CD-only Target exclusive that includes 2 bonus tracks. I just like seeing Shania Twain's got a new album out.
Yeah,
that's cool.
She's kind of making a little comeback.
John Frusciante, lead guitarist for the Red Hot Chili Peppers, has a solo album coming out. Also going to be out on vinyl. There's now that's what I call music volume 85, Terry. Talking about high school. They're still making these. There's 85.
That's
Taylor
awesome.
Swift is on there. The Weeknd, Lizzo, Nicki Minaj.
But remember back in the day when you had to buy, well, I guess maybe you still buy music, but when you had to buy music in a different way, right?
Yes.
But if you could go in and get one that just had all of your favorites, you know, just the hits, I mean, I was all over that.
Oh, yeah.
I wasn't buying like a cassette of each, you know what I mean? If there were 10 different artists and I knew that 2 of each of their songs, I wasn't buying all those because that was a waste of money.
We lived, I believe, in the time, the greatest time of soundtracks. I don't think there were ever better soundtracks than in our stretch of like schooling, you know? And a part of the reason I love those was the various artists, was you got different artists
for sure.
And everything.
You know, I had this little moment the other day. I was in the store and, I mean, everyone knows vinyl is making a comeback, right? Mm-hmm. But I'm walking down this aisle and I see all these album covers and they're the same. They're like the retro album covers,
it.
You know, like the Van Halen 1984 and all this. I'm like, oh, I had that. Those are kind of cool.
It's a cool concept to be able to go back to some of these things.
Yeah.
I think. Looking at what's new in theaters this weekend, The Amazing Maurice, rated PG. Hugh Laurie voices a streetwise ginger cat named Maurice in this goofy interpretation of the tale of the Pied Piper. I haven't seen any trailers for that, but I like the idea of Hugh Laurie doing a voice of a cat. I don't know why, but that seems to fit for me. Knock at the Cabin, rated R, the newest M. Night Shyamalan psychological horror. It's got Jonathan Groff in it and Ben Aldridge, Dave Bautista, and Rupert Grint from Harry Potter fame in this one. And it's an M. Night Shyamalan movie. He is the king of trailers, the king of teasers. I don't know if it's going to be good or not because it's hit or miss with him, to be honest. But when he hits, it's like Sixth Sense Unbreakable level. Like, it's memorable. And
I
then
hate
the
that
one.
Movie.
Which one?
Sixth Sense.
Oh,
so
I know.
Creepy.
I know. Yeah, a lot of people are not fans of that one. As far as the creep factor.
Yeah.
Well, then you might have more fun with this one. Also coming out today, 80 for Brady, rated PG-13.
Okay, I'm not going to lie. I want to go see that.
Oh, this will be, I don't know if I'll see it in the theaters, but if I see it on TV or something, this will be a guilty pleasure probably.
And not because I love Tom Brady, because those four women.
Exactly.
And it's based on a true story. Did you know that?
Yeah, that's the part of it that really pulled me in. It was the four ladies at first, and then it's inspired by a true story of four lady friends in their 80s who are huge Tom Brady fans. They go on a road trip together to go to Super Bowl 2017, the Super Bowl in Houston, between New England and Atlanta. They're missing a key part of this. They're doing this to honor their husbands. Their husbands would get together because they were all New England Patriot fans. And I
thought they were all in love with Tom Brady.
Well, they love Tom Brady because of their husbands and all this. I don't think that they cared much about football. They were mostly doing this to honor their, not just their husbands, but because they love Tom Brady.
I love it.
The ladies are played by all legends. Jane Fonda, Sally Field, Rita Moreno, Lily Tomlin. Like, there's legends, and then there's goats like that, like all four of them.
And all together. So you know it's going to be fun, and, you know, I don't know. I'd like to go see that.
I would say the only thing, like, I would love to see Sophia Loren in there, maybe. Like, that's the only thing maybe missing of this one. Of course, Tom makes an appearance, and so do Rob Gronkowski, Danny Amendola, and Julian Edelman. It looks like, I mean, what I like about this movie is what I like about the Oppenheimer movie coming out soon. I love the superhero stuff, and I love all these different things, but we've gotten way too bogged down by if it's not a Star Wars movie, it's a superhero movie, or it's something like that.
Intense action. Yes. Or, like, this is just seems like
just a movie.
A lighthearted, it's family-friendly.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I think it just sounds... It just sounds good.
Sounds fun. Sounds like a fun movie. And I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. You can get, you know, have your intense dramas and period pieces and all that and still have some fun movies every once in a while. Like, there's nothing wrong with that.
Now, listen, you didn't mention that Titanic is back in theaters next week.
Oh, did I miss that?
I won't tell you.
I will not
tell you what happens.
Thank you.
But
thank you. No spoilers,
it
please.
It is the 25th anniversary of the Titanic movie. And if it comes anywhere close to here, I'm going.
Boy, you know, I just hope that those kids make it.
I'm
rooting for those kids, that Rose and Jack. I'm rooting for them. I hope they make it, you know? That's what I'm hoping for. I can't wait to see it.
Don't be a disser.
We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here at WFHR, locally grown radio. Terry and James here with you. And Terry, you were mentioned Titanic as we were going to break there and everything. I had forgotten about this. The results of James Cameron's big experiment on Jack and Rose at the end of Titanic yielded a pretty surprising result. Cameron actually admitted that both Jack and Rose might have been able to survive.
Oh. Stop.
For the National Geographic special Titanic, 25 years later with James Cameron, they simulated the condition of the movie as closely as possible.
I saw this.
Did you see it? They found two actors the same size and weight as Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio. They put them on the raft at the same size and buoyancy and all that stuff. Now, James Cameron, for over a decade, actually over two decades, has said that there was no way that Jack could have survived it, that Rose did this, or Jack did this, sacrificed himself so that Rose could survive, and et cetera, et cetera.
The
all
things
this.
We do for love.
And now he's saying the exact opposite, that
However,
they could have actually both fit on that.
Maybe I didn't see that. I saw a different simulation where they actually had like the water really, really cold, you know, yeah. and the people were like they had trouble. I mean, yes, the dimensions of it, two bodies could fit on, but actually being in the ice cold water and getting up there and staying balanced, like they couldn't make it work. Hmm. So that's why I thought you were, you know, because all this stuff is popping up now on TV.
Yeah,
because it's
yeah.
the 25 years. So maybe it wasn't that particular one, but on that one, it was questionable.
Hmm.
So I'm sticking with that.
Well, maybe it is the same one. Cameron says, quote, final verdict, Jack might have lived, but there's a lot of variables. In a well-lit experiment in a test pool, we can't possibly simulate the terror and adrenaline, all the things that would have worked against them.
Sure.
He says, quote, based on what I know today, I would have made the raft smaller, so there's no doubt.
Yeah, well, that makes sense.
And that's noteworthy for a couple of reasons. One, James Cameron's never admitted he's done anything wrong in his whole life. That's huge right there. So that's a win right there for some people. My real interest in this, Terry, because I tease you and I tease others about Titanic, my sister and others. My sister's in the same boat as you are, no pun intended. I've had this conversation for 25 years with people and everything. I'm more curious now, especially as you mentioned, it's going to be put back in theaters. Now, part of the reason for that is James Cameron's ego. He wants to have the biggest selling movie of all time. Avatar's not enough. Titanic has a chance because every time you put in a movie, you re-release a movie, that adds to your overall, you know, box
sure.
office numbers. But I'm more curious about fans. Because they're only doing this because fans love the movie so much. It's not because it won Oscars and all this. It's because of the cult following that this movie has.
Love it. Seriously.
What is it about the movie to you or what do you think to people that pulls them in?
I don't know. For me, like, I love the cast. Mm. Like, I really like Kate Winslet. Like, I don't know. I really like it. I like the... You know, the history of it. I don't know. It's the anticipation. Obviously, you know what's going to happen. Mm-hmm. But... I don't know. There's something. When it first released 25 years ago, I seriously saw the movie theater five times.
Really? Really? Have you ever seen a movie that many times?
No.
Wow.
And so, and it was more of like, I went with a couple friends and then somebody else couldn't come and they were like, oh, I would have liked to have gone. I'm like, oh, I'll go with you. You know, like it was that kind of thing. But then it was re-released once already.
Yes.
I think it was at 10 years, maybe.
Mm, yeah.
And so I dragged Randy along, you know, to it then.
Mm-hmm.
And so I did just bring this up at home. And every once in a while, I'll say it. I'll be like, who wants to watch Titanic with me? And I get like, I mean, synchronized eye rolling. Like no
oh,
one
really?
Else is. But I just, I don't know. I do have a hard time sitting for that long. Not in the movie theater, but like to sit at home on the couch. But if it is on when I'm flipping through, I leave it on. Like there's just, I don't know.
It's interesting because usually a movie has this kind of like cult following and it's like a Rocky Horror or something that didn't do well in theaters, but it's now got a following because people can watch it on TV at home or any of these things. This was, at the time it left theaters the first time, was the biggest box office of all time, and it's got this cult following. Like, it's interesting to see that.
Like, I like the romance of it. I love the detail of it. You know, like the, just talking about even like the China pattern and the, mm-hmm. there's just so much in it that... Just, I don't know. It just resonates with me.
Well, one of the good things about that ego of James Cameron's is his attention to detail.
The detail is
amazing.
Impeccable.
Yeah. Even in the bits of the movie that I've seen, I can see that, oh my God, like they went above and beyond with some of the clothing and some
You've
of that.
Actually never watched it?
Oh, no. No, I've never seen it. I've seen bits and pieces of it. I've never seen it. It's the only Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio movie I have not seen.
You should.
I'm a huge fan of both of them. Both some of the better actors I've ever seen.
Amazing in there.
I don't know. I mean, maybe one day I'll see it, but I don't know. I really don't, especially at this point. But if I was going to see it, I wouldn't mind seeing it in the theaters.
Oh,
if I was going to see it, that would be a good way to see it. I think it's cool, and I I say this all the time, but just to reiterate, I'm doing a fun little morning show here. I may tease about things and stuff. I never have in my life, and I never would tell somebody, don't watch that movie. That's a terrible movie. Like, everything is interpretation. What I like is not going to be what they like, or vice versa, and everything. That's the point of entertainment.
Yeah. And, you know, there's something about that movie, too. Like, the idea. So, if you're pushing 3 hours, and an hour and a half of it is literally a boat sinking. I mean, you're thinking, like, how could it take that? You know what I mean? Like, how? But you see the spectrum of emotions that all of those people went through, and knowing hope. I mean, but it's still hoping, but knowing, you know, what was, I don't know. There's something about it. And I really like how they framed it, you know, with her as an elderly woman.
Yeah.
You know, kind of telling the story like that. I really loved that too.
I will say the actual sinking of the Titanic, the history of it and everything is something that I've looked into a lot in my life. And I think it's really worth looking into, not only for the people that we lost in that event, but just how much we needed that moment to learn from that moment to figure out how to work around icebergs and different things. Yeah. And like, there's a lot of cool history to it too. So this is an interesting one, Terry. Talk about a great parking spot. A woman in California snapped a photo this week after she saw a sign for 30-hour parking. It almost looked Photoshopped, but it isn't. It's just an obvious typo, the sign people fail to notice. If you spotted it in Almanda, California, near San Francisco on Tuesday, it says 30-hour parking from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m., except on Sundays. All the signs around it say 30-minute parking.
Wonder how much 30-hour parking costs.
Yeah, yeah. City officials said that they were aware of the sign and are planning to fix it.
It doesn't sound like they're in any hurry. So, yeah, if you get lucky.
Here's one of the things that I learned right away living in California. One of the most beautiful parts of the world, California. Mountains, ocean, there's so much to love. If you want to do anything, like you're in your backyard, you want to put up a pool. You're in your backyard, you want to put up some solar paneling. Plan for a good 5-10 year stretch of this. Like, it ain't going to get done anytime soon. There is so much micromanaging and red tape and so much of that out there where the most libertarian person just loses their mind. Like, it's insane, like, some of the things that they do over there, the way that it is, like, how much it takes to get things done. That sign, I would not be shocked if we're doing this story, like, 2 months from now and somebody's still like,
hey, it's still there.
Yeah, it's still here, everybody. Like,
funny.
And it's not to pick on them or anything. It's just kind of the
way.
Well,
but we can pick on them. Florida, yeah. California.
I'm repeating a lot of things that Californians say. So I'm not, you know, this isn't original content here. We'll take a break. We'll get to some original content. We got Melissa's news coming up right here on the morning show at WFHR, locally grown radio. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy starts today. Oh, Black Betty. Is this an 80s song? No, I just hit bumper music. That's why. I thought I hit the 80s bumpers.
This is good.
That's good.
It's better than the last bumper we had.
It threw me off, though. Threw me off, because I was expecting 80s. That song is always going to remind me of Carl in some ways. Just with the rafters and different things and stuff. Yeah, it's a good one. So I got an interesting one right here for us, Terry. 5 rude things you might be doing in fitness class.
Wearing spandex?
This could be... keep that in mind for our later conversation for our That Ain't Right story.
Okay.
Remember that. Let's see here. If you've been hitting the gym a lot more since the beginning of the year, this might be for you. It's 5 of the rudest things people do in group fitness classes. Arriving late. It's disruptive when you walk in after class has started. Aim to get there when a few minutes early. If you know you have to leave early, at least try to get a spot near the door.
Or be someone who can just slip in, slip out.
Yeah.
You know what I'm, you know.
Oh, yeah.
You know those people that can just join and you, I mean, you might notice they come in, but they don't. But then you've got the people that it's like.
They're making noises. They're dropping their water bottle.
Yeah.
I'm the opposite.
Just skip that day.
Yeah, just slide in, slide out,
right,
kind of thing. Yes, saving spots for your late friends. Don't put down towels or mats to hold space for someone who's running late. It takes away prime spots for the people who arrive on time.
But Don't you kind of want to save a spot for your friend?
I mean, not only that, but I don't think a lot of people want to sit next to a stranger. So I think you're actually helping the other people in that route, too, in a roundabout way. Helping yourself first, certainly, but helping them, you know, could be helping them in a roundabout way as well. That's more of one of those things where that's on the teacher of the class, I think. Like that, you got to take some responsibility there and kind of like, you know, if it's an issue to you, if you think it's an issue in the class. A lot of these classes are smaller and don't necessarily deal with a lot of that stuff. Hogging the water station. You don't actually need to fill up your entire gallon-sized jug while a long line forms behind you. It's pretty funny.
That's totally true.
Keeping your phone on. If you have your phone with you, put it on silent. Even vibration can be distracting if you're in a quiet class like the end of yoga.
Yeah, for sure. Like, that shouldn't even be a thing.
No, no. And monopolizing the instructor's time. It's cool to ask a question or two, but a group fitness class is not a personal training session. You know, just pay
those
the extra.
Yeah, those are all good.
I like those. I like those. Those are pretty good ones. I've never done a group fitness class or anything, but oddly, like some of those come up when it comes to, you know, like teaching or being a student, I should say. Monopolizing the teacher's time. Sure. I was very guilty of that. That teacher I was just mentioning, Mr. Gutierrez, earlier and stuff, the first time, first class I had with him, I stayed late, I thought. I wanted to hang out. I had follow-up questions. I'm asking him. And he was a very nice guy, older guy. And finally, he kind of looks up from his table, and, you know, his glasses are hanging lower and everything. And he's like, James, would you like to join this class too? And I swear to God, I turned around, and there's like 30 kids in class sitting down, staring at me. I was holding up his next class, and I had no idea.
Yes, I'll stay if it's free. Is it free?
Right, yeah, yeah. I don't know if I've ever had a more sheepish moment where I just my head and my tail between my legs and just kind of walk out of there. I can still feel the embarrassment from it. But yeah, that's something that can definitely happen. Subway is doing something interesting here. Subway is upgrading their meats this year. They're putting shiny new deli slicers in all their locations. Some places might even have them already. But it sounds like most of the rollout will happen later in this spring. Subway typically had pre-sliced meats, probably because it was quick, easy, and consistent, but that doesn't exactly scream fresh. So they're upgrading that by having the meat sliced right in front of you.
So they're
going to
do their own cutting.
Behind the counter.
Nice.
Technically, they won't be slicing meat to order like Jersey Mike's, just when they need to refill the prepped food area. And the machines are automated, so it shouldn't take up much workers' time.
But it is still fresher. I mean, I agree.
Definitely. Yeah. Definitely. Anybody who uses mozzarella, you got to use the fresh mozzarella. It's such a difference. Mm-hmm. There's such a difference with that, just as a side note. Everybody's trying to do things like this to improve their business and to stick around, really. I hope the only issue with me with Subway, because I just said, told you right there, I eat their food, you know, from time to time and everything, and have since I've ever seen a first Subway. I like subs. I don't like the way that they treat a lot of the owners of these businesses, how they pit them against each other. There's a great documentary about this.
You're saying one Subway franchisee over another? Is
yes,
that what you're saying?
Yeah.
So within the same nameplate?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's not a coincidence that towns like ours have 3-4 Subways, because for them, they're going to do this thing, what we say in hockey, pepper the net. I got a great goalie. He's blocking everything. I'm just going to keep hitting and hope something goes through. Subway business model, we're going to put 8 of them in that town, and maybe 2 will survive. But we're okay with that because we don't hurt because we're a franchise and we're okay. But meanwhile, the people who start up these businesses, they don't know that. They even if you have been going to Subway your whole life and you're, you know, 30 years old and you understand their business model, you watch the same documentary I did, they're telling you, oh, we're not going to do that to you. Would never do that to you. You're going to be fine. Don't worry about it. You open up your brand new Subway and you find out like a week or two later, oh, yeah, there's a Subway that's opening up about 10 minutes from here. It's like, what the what, man?
You know, I wonder about those, the slicers, the going back to the deli slicers.
Yeah.
I wonder what that's going to do with workforce, because there are rules around who can operate those.
Right.
At what age. And I don't remember if you have to be 17 or if you can do it when you're 16. But mm-hmm. I do know that, you know, there's a lot of high school kids that are working in Subways. And yep. So then if they can't slice the meat, you know what I mean? Legally, if they can't slice the meat, that might play into it a little bit too.
This is a little local, but imagine if like Chips or Culver's wasn't able to have high school workers.
Well, yeah.
That'd be staggering. That'd be a real, like, so to a lesser level, what you're saying about Subway is very true, too.
Yeah, so I just, you know what I mean? I can't recall what the rule is on that, but I know that there is one on who can operate those slicers.
It's going to be interesting to see how this works out for them.
On the line of freshness, that is true.
Yes, yeah. I will say, too, that, you know, there's something to be said too for kind of like, okay, well, this isn't working. We got to try something different.
Mm-hmm.
I admire that, and I appreciate that it takes work and money and all those things. I just hope that they're also working on the franchise thing for owners and people like that. We'll take a break. We'll come back and have some more fun on the morning show here at WFHR. Welcome back to the morning show here on WFHR, locally grown radio. Hope you all are having a great Friday out there. Thanks for joining us.
Now, this is a Friday night dedication
song. Yeah, it is. So is. It so is. Terry and James here with you. You know what's really weird is I was talking with my dad yesterday about Steppenwolf Theater, and I was mentioning a bunch of actors that started it. John Mahoney from Frasier, you might know. Obviously, John Malkovich, Gary Sinise, and Mesha Taylor. And my dad said, Mesha Taylor, like, I know that sounds familiar. I was like, well, he was the African-American gentleman on Designing Women. A lot of people will remember him from that. He was also the like funny, weird gay friend or whatever in the movie Mannequin, which is what that song is from.
Yeah.
So just weird kind of like a connection there and stuff. And I don't think a lot of people remember that song is from the soundtrack from the movie Mannequin. What are the like, oh, that movie could only be made in the 80s. Like there's certain movies when I look back at them, like Revenge of the Nerds or some of these movies, like there ain't no way that movie's getting made. Even in 1995 or something, let alone like nowadays.
There's even movies that I've pulled up. Like one day, I think I was flipping through and like Meatballs was on. And so I'm like, you guys come watch this. And they are just like looking at me like, you are nuts. Like they watched it for like 20 minutes and they were, no interest whatsoever. But now I got to find Mannequin and watch a little bit of that.
Oh, gosh. There's a couple of big names in it, too. I just can't think of it right now. One of the kings of the 80s, one of the Brat Pack, I believe, is in that one. God, I just can't remember. Andrew McCarthy or Andrew McCartney or something like that. Yeah, something like that, lead actor. Number one dream job. That's where we're going next before we get to our That Ain't Right story of the day and some good stories of the day. I say dream job, Terry. Do you have anything that pops to your mind right away?
Not really. I'm doing it.
Right on. If you asked your seventh grader what their dream job would be, they might say they probably won't say electropsychologist. They'd probably say YouTuber or rapper or something like that.
Great.
New research came up with a list of the top dream jobs worldwide. They did it by looking into targeting online search results for stuff like how to be a. In the end, the top dream job was pilot.
Oh, that's cool.
Kind of interesting because we've been hearing stories about the airlines and been struggling with a pilot shortage, so that's probably a really good time to be hearing something like that. Broken down by country, pilot is number one in the U.S., Canada, U.K., Papua New Guinea, and Australia.
Interesting.
Yeah. We're going to go through the rest of this list, though. But the Sheboygan of countries is Papua New Guinea. Like, it's so much fun to say. Any opportunity I had to say Papua New Guinea, I'm going to say it. It's great. Just like Sheboygan. Oh, it's a great word. Great word. Good morning to all of our friends out in Sheboygan and Papua New Guinea. We're huge over there, Terry. Huge in Papua New Guinea. So, yeah, we have pilot as the number one dream job. Number two, writer. Dancer number three, YouTuber number four, entrepreneur number five. Before we move on, let's just deal with these in fives here in that top five. I think that there's, you know, some discouragement maybe with the YouTuber thing or something. But to see writer up there, I don't know that there's a lot of different types of writers and everything.
Sure.
But just the idea that people are saying writer and not, you know, artificial intelligence writing something or whatever. Or, you know, I do kind of like that. I find some hope in that.
Yeah. Or like, is there thought being a novelist or are they writing television shows? Or I mean, it could be anything.
I love dance. I think that's cool. And I like the entrepreneur thing because that meaning of small business, starting up business, that kind of thing. I would say with every one of these, outside of maybe the pilot, have a day job. Have a day job sure. while you're trying to make these things happen. You can't come out the gate. And even if you are, you know, you've got something to say and you could be a good influencer or YouTuber or whatever, it takes time to build those things up. And obviously with an entrepreneur. Number six, actor. Oh, God, no. What are you thinking?
Again, keep your day job?
Well, yes, yes. Why would you do that to yourself? Yes. Acting is one of the most rewarding things in life for me. The idea of I can't cure a disease. I can't necessarily maybe teach you arithmetic, but I can make you laugh. I can make you smile. I can make you think. That's a humbling privilege to have. Have a day job. Have a day job, people. Number seven, influencer. Yeah, I don't know a lot about that, but I mean, I do would say have a day job, and I could see why that would be a dream job. It doesn't seem like there's a whole lot of heavy lifting in, when it comes to that. Programmer, number eight. Now, that one... The exact opposite of an influencer. There's not many programmers that it doesn't take a lot of heavy lifting and a lot of work.
What do you think kids are thinking there? Video games?
Yeah, I think that there. I think you know. There's also it's not on this list, but I've heard kids talk about getting into coding and being able to make video games. I think a lot of the generations now, it's not enough to play video games. They want to make them. And right. I think that's really cool.
That's cool.
That is that's a whole different thing than just sitting there and playing video games.
It gets
games.
Mom off your back.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Number nine, singer.
Yeah. Yeah, I can see a seventh grader thinking that.
Yeah, yeah. And number 10, teacher.
Nice.
So teacher made the top 10. I'm very
when
happy to see
When I first went to college, that was my plan. I was going to be a marketing education teacher.
Really?
Yep.
Oh, you'd be great at that. I could see you being good at that. When it came to teaching people stuff, or even currently in the job, training people, did you think you were pretty good at that? Did you enjoy doing that?
Yeah, I like doing that. And when I way back when I worked for Yonkers, like that company used to send us like they'd identify people to specialize in certain trainings, you know, in certain customer service level trainings. And so I actually got to travel quite a bit and go around to different cool. stores, different states to do some you know, some trainings with people. Yeah, I like that. I think the teacher part, though, I'm not necessarily cut out for elementary teaching. I would be more of a middle school, high school teacher.
Mm-hmm. We have a most recent teacher at Second City, and she came from more of a corporate world and more of a doing that. And one of the reasons she thought she'd be pretty good at this was she was always complimenting how she was training new employees. And I think there's a little connection there, so I thought that was interesting. Number 11 on the list, DJ. Do you want to be rich?
It could be a side gig.
It could be. There's a lot of people that do DJing and radioing and stuff like that, side gigs. Number 12, blogger. Now, blogger's a little different than an influencer. Blogging has been around a little longer, and I know a handful of people that do this, and they would be the first to tell you this is not the hardest job they've ever done or anything. But it does involve, like, I'm thinking of one lady I know who does food blogging, and she travels all around the country doing it. You know, she's a good writer, too. And so it's not just, this food tasted like this. Like, she's giving you some stories, she's giving you some description.
I was expecting you to say cardboard when you said
yeah,
that.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm kind of surprised with that age group that blogger isn't higher.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Me too. Yeah.
Or influencer, I guess.
Right.
Or, you know.
Number 13, doctor. Okay. Nice to see that.
And
on
that's
there.
A good, yeah. Isn't that kind of a kid go to?
Oh, you would think. I would think so. Yeah. Professor also on this list. So not enough to be a teacher. You want to go automatically go right to professor. I like that.
Well, yeah.
Flight attendant also on the list. That's really encouraging to see. Number 16, firefighter. I would love to see that much higher on the list, but I'm just thankful it's in the top 20.
Like, yeah, I think so too, that it's not lost.
Not to take away from any of these things, but I would say outside of maybe teacher, that is one of those ones where not only have we, since we, you and I were in high school and kids, we need more people in that industry. Our society can survive without influencers. We can't survive without teachers and firefighters. Sure. Like these are positions that we need to figure out how we make these jobs more enticing to students, to kids, so that they're not growing up wanting to be the next big influencer. They want to be the next great teacher, next right. great firefighter, something like that. Too often in life, we point the finger. And these darn kids that want to be influencers and all these things, it's on them. It's their fault or whatever. What are we doing in society to make these jobs interesting? When it comes to politics, when it comes to being a police officer, when you turn on the news, how many good stories do you see? How many times do you see people talking nicely about these jobs? It's more times than not, I would say almost 90% of the time, it's negative. So if I'm a little kid and I'm watching that, what's the encouragement for me to want to do that job?
Right.
You can have accountability for these jobs, or for these things that I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. You can also have the other side of it. You got a whole two generations at least sitting there watching all this stuff. And it's hard to encourage them to do these jobs when they've got this, you know, dauntingness on them. Judge number 17, lawyer number 18.
Judge. That's awesome.
Now, this is a little twisted. They just wanted to fill out 20 here because they've got lawyer at 18 and attorney at 19. Most people use lawyer and attorney interchangeably, even lawyers and attorneys themselves. So you could probably just jump or lump them together. There was a bit of a difference, but not enough.
But then it would have only gone to 19.
Right, right. We couldn't have that. And psychologists came in at number 20.
Huh.
In China, the dream job, the number one dream job was dietitian. In South Korea, it's a police officer. In Egypt, a football player, but probably more of the, you know. So I know we kind of went through some of this before in a previous show, but I wanted to get into one last part of this because they recently announced that this list had, it's at remitly.com. So some of those jobs that we mentioned actually were higher on the list. They had some things missing.
Oh.
So when it came to, let me double check here, when it came to influencer was actually a little higher, so that's not, you know, too encouraging. But as far as teacher and firefighter and flight attendant and judge, all of those actually had bigger numbers than they expected.
Oh, well, that's good.
Yeah. That's encouraging. And now our feature, That Ain't Right story of the day. This could go down as one of our greats. Does this sound sexy or just plain painful or wrong? Jean Short thongs. Four women are hit on social media right now. A Chinese website called Shein.com is selling them as low-rise booty denim shorts.
You have got to be kidding me.
They've actually been on their site since last summer, but they're a hit on social media right now. Most people are just talking about how uncomfortable they must be. They're mostly denim, but not full denim. They've got some fabric mixed in, but it's mostly denim. They come in four different washes and different sizes, or not, different sizes 4 through 14. I have no idea what that means. I'm sorry. So yes, people are buying them. They are being bought, but with a lot of seriousness, it sounds like.
Oh, my goodness. Are you... That is wrong.
Yeah, I have not looked at these on purpose yet. If they sound like something you'd want to wear or give someone as a joke, they're not that expensive. They're $12.50. But I oh my God, no. Oh, I just pulled up a picture of them. Wow. Wow.
And now they're not intended to be underwear, right?
Mm.
I mean, they're intended to be worn as
they're saying they're outerwear. Not, but yeah, they're supposed to be an outerwear, shorts to wear on the outside. Yeah, but that looks like underwear, like denim underwear to me. Like, that's one of the cruelest things I've ever heard of.
This is not good.
That's just mean.
That is wrong.
That is wrong.
So you leave here, probably not today because it's below zero.
Yeah.
But like, you leave here and you go to walk in the gas station and someone is in front of you walking in those.
Yeah, nah. Well, in this weather.
Take out the weather.
Sure.
It's 80.
Sorry. Yeah.
But.
No. I'm not even standing behind them. I'm like a good 10 feet back.
I don't even know if I want to stand in front of them.
No, that's true. Yeah.
That is not cool.
That ain't right. That is going to, I am putting that in our bookmarks. This is going down as one of our That Ain't Right stories of 2023.
And
when we wrap up the year, this is coming back.
Yeah, that is.
That ain't right.
That's a top spot.
That's way up at the top on that list. We need a palate cleanser. Let's get to some good stories of the day. At a high school basketball game in North Dakota last week, a seventh grader named J.J. Franks got the chance at a half-court shot for $10,000 and drained it. It actually wasn't just a half-court shot. He had to make a layup, free throw, three-pointer, and one from half-court in a row. The place went nuts. All the high school players rushed to the court and picked him up on their shoulders. J.J. talked about it later and said he had never expected it to go in. He's saving the $10,000 for college. Yeah, good on them.
That's cool.
That is really cool. The world's oldest dog, record just fell for the second time in 2 weeks, but this one's special. Oh, they're all special. Guinness verified that a dog in Portugal named Bobby, B-O-B-I, is now 30 years and 268 days old, which also makes him the oldest dog ever. The old record of 29 years and 5 months stood for over 8 decades.
Wow.
That's pretty cool.
That's a long time.
And speaking of dogs, firefighters saved dozens of dogs from a fire at a doggy daycare in Seattle last week. All 115 dogs that were inside made it out.
Sweet.
That's beautiful. That's incredible. And in while a baby or a person is noteworthy, certainly. More noteworthy to, you know, you would say, a person might work with you, a baby may even at least, you know, they're crying and all this and everything, but instinctively may even work with you a little bit. An animal, like the confusion, the especially during a fire, I only know this a little bit because of the fire we experienced in my parents' house and the dog we had. The dogs, my dad wanted to go upstairs and try to put out some of the fire. My Zeppelin, my parents' dog, who was a lab, as we talk about labs on this day, was pulling at him to try to get him out. And the dog's not worried about its own safety.
No, I was going to say, the dog's not going to leave till it knows you're safe.
Exactly. Yeah. So to be able to get those animals out while there's people in the building is very difficult. Just pulling that off logistically, impressive.
Well, and then you're pulling out that many, and where are they going? You know, there's that part of it, too.
Yes.
115 dogs that you're pulling out of a building.
And did want to wrap up with our United Way. There is plenty of things going on at the United Way right now. Encourage you to go to uwswac.org.
Absolutely. We've got a few different raffle opportunities. We've got some events coming up, and encourage you to participate in our Cabin Fever Challenge, which is a super fun, family-friendly activity that we, you know, encourage you to do over the month of February.
Mm-hmm. Get in on that, everybody. It's a great one. There are so many other things going on with your United Way. There's always volunteer opportunities as well. And get ready to celebrate 2-1-1 Day on February 11th.
Absolutely.
Plenty going on. Terry, great show. Thank you so much for hanging out with us, putting up with me as you always do. Have a great weekend.
You too.
We'll be back next week with more right here for you at WFHR Locally Grown Radio.